Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hey friends, we're so glad you joined us. Today, I'm your host, Leanine Heiss, and today we will be talking with Jody Byrne. As a mom with school-age kids, it can be difficult for me to even imagine a day when I won't have folders to check, carpools to drive, and a calendar full of my kids' events. But today's guest reminded me that one day, should the Lord tarry, that day will come. And when it does, prayer will be as important as ever. Today, we're hoping to dispel the myth that you ever graduate from being a Moms in Prayer mom, because there will never be a season where our kids don't need God to work in their lives. I can't wait for you to meet Jody. Let's get started. Well, Jody Byrne, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Oh, Lee, thank you. What a treat and an honor it is to be with you.
It's so fun. So Jody, tell our listeners where you are today and a little bit about you and your family.
I live in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Been happily married for 33 years to a fella who was my college sweetheart, Robbie. Mm. And we have four adult children, three girls and a boy. Two of the girls are married. And our son, the youngest, is finishing up his last year of college at the University of Virginia. So we are in the empty nest stage, in the throes of life, no grandchildren yet, but looking forward to that day, Lord willing.
That's so fun. You know, I got a phone call right after Unshaken North Carolina, and everybody was like, you have got to talk to Jody. It would be so fun for you to have Jody on the podcast. So thank you for making time to be with us today.
Oh my goodness. I had the best time at that retreat. And I will just say, if your listeners have never been on a Moms in Prayer retreat, I would just jump on at the next opportunity. It was so uplifting and encouraging and equipping. It was just wonderful. So thank you for including me and for putting that on.
Well, Jody, you're a Moms in Prayer mom. I mean, you've been doing this thing for a while with Moms in Prayer. Tell us your Moms in Prayer story.
I grew up in a home where people prayed. And so once I had children, it was kind of easy for me to just do that naturally. But it was honestly sort of help them on their spelling test, help them be nice to each other, Lord heal them when they have a fever, that kind of thing. And I didn't really know the power of scripture prayer. And here I was kind of praying, and I was praying actually with some of my friends for our children, but it wasn't an official Moms in Prayer group. And someone told me about Moms in Prayer, and I sort of poo-pooed it at first, thinking, well, I don't need to register my group or sign up. I mean, I'm just praying for my kids. But then whoever it was encouraged me to check it out. And when I did and ordered some of the materials, it was like a whole new world opened, because I thought, oh my goodness, the value of doing it with the four steps of prayer, which I had from the outside thought might be a little bit constricting and formulaic. I thought, oh my, it's so freeing, because you know, even going in, that you're going to cover all the topics, you know, you're going to praise the Lord and enter his gates with thanksgiving and get your heart ready with confession. And then, you know, too, because of that hour time limit and that accountability there, that you're really going to get down to it and not waste those precious moments, but you're really going to bring your children before the Lord. So as soon as I got that material, you know, my skepticism or my reluctance flew out the window, and I jumped in. And I think I led a group for, I don't know, 18 or 19 years as our children were growing up, and we moved all over the country. Now, like I said, I'm an empty nester, and I get together with some friends, and we still use the four steps of prayer and love to pray the scriptures. Just really a wonderful legacy that you all have provided. So thank you.
Oh, Jody, that's my story too. I wanted to cover my kids in prayer, and really, I thought the four steps would be confining, but actually they just offer us so much freedom, don't they?
So much. Yes.
You have a ministry teaching women how to pray strategically for their kids, and you've written several books at this point about that. But what I wanted to invite you to talk about today is specifically praying scriptures for your adult children.
Yes. Well, you know, I say I have four adult children and two sons-in-law, and that habit of praying scripturally for them when they were young and needing things like self-control or to demonstrate compassion or to develop a strong work ethic as they did their, you know, homework and things. Those things are still all right there. And so I'm still praying a lot of those things, but their world has grown and they need jobs and marriage partners if they're single, or to thrive as a single if that's God's plan for them. My married girls, I've had to pray that they would leave and cleave well. You know, grown-up issues. You and I were talking earlier about how the book, Praying the Scriptures for Your Adult Children, really does deal with some tough stuff, you know, mental health and addictions and just going through a troubled marriage or a divorce, so hard stuff. And I did that because I covered a lot of the sort of broader issues, the need for salvation, for using your gifts to glorify God, for developing a love for His word, for being a good friend and sibling, and, you know, honoring your teachers and your coaches. All of those things were sort of covered in Praying the Scriptures for Your Children, and then the teens book. But with the adults, I did want to dig a little bit deeper as I looked around at my friends and my own life and realized, you know, we're kind of still in it. And we really might feel kind of alone because, you know, when your children are little and you're on the soccer sidelines or you're a room mother or helping with something at the PTA night, whatever, you have this beautiful parenting community where you can say, oh, really, you too? Oh, that makes me feel better. You know, my child's biting somebody. Don't worry, that'll pass. Or my child needs a friend. Well, mine does too. And then as you get older and you're no longer in those places where you're naturally thrown together with parents in the same season, it can feel kind of lonely. And I wanted parents of adult children, empty nesters, to feel like they weren't alone. That even though your child might be going through a different issue maybe than your friends or your neighbors, we're all still parenting. You never stop parenting. You never stop loving your child. And you never stop praying for them.
It's funny that you say that. Occasionally I'll travel around and they'll say, oh, Moms in Prayer. I used to be in a Moms in Prayer group, but I graduated from that. And I think, yeah, like, yeah, you graduated from needing to pray for your kids. I must miss, yeah, the memo. Like, our kids, as they get older, desperately need our prayers, don't they?
Yes, desperately. And I think we need that community of praying moms. And, you know, it might not look like it did when our child was in fourth grade or eighth grade or going to prom, where we are meeting there regularly once a week, although I do have a college and career group. But even if it doesn't look just the same as it looked when they were younger, I think it's so important for those of us who are walking kind of the empty nest years to join hands with other parents, because we really need that support. We still get that old tired or discouraged or just needing someone to lift us up, even now in this phase, and we still need to do that for others. So I would really encourage any mom who has, quote, graduated and who's listening to reach out and just get like we used to. One other mom is plenty. And just if you do it over phone, or I've even done it with some of my children's college friends' mothers, believe it or not, we started an email chain where we did it once a week with scripture. None of us even knew each other. We would see each other maybe, you know, once a year up at college. But other than that, we were just doing it electronically, praying and lifting up one another's children, kids we didn't even hardly know. So There's lots of ways to keep the moms in prayer magic, if you want to call it that, going as we pray together.
Well, I think that's so important, because as I was reflecting on some things that you've written, losing your parenting community is a big deal when you empty nest.
It is. You know, and there are so many sweet blessings getting to reconnect with your spouse sometimes, having more time maybe to go back to work or dig deeper in work. All of those things are wonderful seasons. But for a lot of us, I know for me, being a mom and having kids around the dinner table and having friends that were parents of my children's friends really was a lot of my time and energy and emotional fulfillment. And when that disappeared, I sort of looked around and thought, well, where are my people? And, you know, they might still be there. They're still in my same town, but we're not seeing each other as much. You know, a good way to combat loneliness is to just say, let's get together. Let's pray.
That's great. So, Jody, as moms begin to enter these different seasons with their kids, this book that you've written has addressed lots of different areas. I was surprised as I was working through, like, oh, yeah, we do need to pray. I mean, of course, we're praying for a spouse if God would provide that. Or, of course, we're praying that they would find a good job. But it also deals with, like, they're looking at getting married. Now they're struggling with infertility. Their marriage is on the rocks. So how did you begin to allow things that might cause fear in you turn into prayer?
Oh, that's a great question. And, you know, I think as women, it can be really easy to let fear or worry take hold. I think, honestly, you know, I've heard, and I haven't counted myself, but enough smart people have told me that the most oft repeated command in scripture is don't be afraid or fear not. And I think there's a reason that God gives that to us so many times, and he knows that our hearts naturally can go that way. And yet I look at that and I think, well, okay, there is not a need that we'll face in parenting or in any of life for that matter that God has not already thought of and provided for in his word. So I look at that and I just think, you know, I might be worried about my child's friendships or dating relationships, or it could be more serious, a health concern, a mental health need, a search for a job. I write about that in the book, that it took a long time for our eldest to get a job. She was holding out for the one she really wanted. And while she did that with a lot of grace, I didn't treat it as well as a mom. I let my undies get in all up in a wad and I got worried. And so I think that the Lord invites us to turn our backs on fear and turn full to him and bring him our concerns, bring him our needs, surrender those things and trust that he is at work. And that is such an opportunity for peace, regardless of what the circumstances might look like. And I think that, you know, one of those things, when we can't see the needle moving, you know, when the marriage is on the rocks for a long time, when we discover, and parents were so precious sharing their stories with me of drug and alcohol abuse or addiction. One mom's son who was wrestling with pornography. I mean, really hard and really scary issues. But as these parents pressed into the Lord, they found that he was meeting them at their deepest point of need for their security and confidence in him, even as he was working in the lives of their children. So I think as we pray for our kids, we see results in their lives, but we also see results in ours with that peace that comes just by turning it over to God.
I am certain that that's true, that peace grows inside of us as we surrender things to him in prayer. And actually, we're the ones learning how to trust him more. How do you convey to your kids that you're praying for them?
Well, my poor children are so used to me being a little in their face about it. Not everybody is maybe that bold or embarrassing. You know, pick your word when you have teenagers. Sometimes I think my kids roll my eyes, but I will text them prayers. If I see a verse that means a lot, I might text them and say, I prayed this one for you today. Sometimes if I'm just having a little extended prayer time, because that's one of the side benefits of being an empty nester, is a little more time in the morning, I may text the kids or call them and just say, hey, if you have anything going on, let me know. And you know what? They almost always do. They'll say, I've got a presentation this week. I'm not feeling well. I just had a sort of argument with my roommate and we need to smooth that over. Whatever it is, I kind of get these needs back. And it's just a beautiful communication tool. And I think kids, my friend Jeannie Cunyon, she's written some wonderful parenting books for younger moms, but they're so applicable even to me. But one of the things she says is that for our kids to see their earthly father or mother talking to their heavenly father is just such a security builder, knowing that you're a child of any age, knowing that your parent is talking to the God who really can make a difference, you know, the one who's bigger than it all. That just builds our hope and our security, I think, for kids. So I'm not shy about letting my children know that I'm lifting them up.
I've still got kids at home and I haven't reached that point yet, but my sister, who's a Moms in Prayer mom now too, went through a time of walking through rebellion. And at one point I said to her, Casey, I'm praying for you. And she looked right at me and she said, stop praying for me. And I looked back at her and said, make me, you know, and I'm sure you've had moments. I know adult parents have moments where kids look back and say, stop praying for me. Stop doing this. And
absolutely. And I'll tell you, sometimes I think that comes from a sense our kids might have that we're trying to impose our will or our agenda on them. And, you know, when we search our hearts, I know for me, that's often true. And I don't want it to be. I want thy will be done to be my prayer. But I do have ideas of how I think things should go in my kids' lives. I have plans for them. I have things I think they ought to think or do or say. And I need to surrender that to the Lord and trust that his ways, as Isaiah 55 reminds us, are higher and better than ours. I think when our kids see us surrendering that way, just asking God to bless them and to provide for them and to love them rather than seeing us as people who are almost using prayer as a tool to get them to behave, I think that is a great door opener. And, you know, God had to deal with me on that one, honestly, because I was praying for some things I thought should happen in my kids' lives. You know, don't you think we all know best? And they weren't happening. And I took it up with God and I thought, hey, you know, what are you doing? And I said, I trusted you and this or that is not coming to fruition. It's not happening. And I thought they were really good requests about jobs and relationships and health and other things. And God said, you know, you're not trusting me. You're trusting your agenda. You're trusting your outcome that you want to see. I want you to trust me and my plans. And so as I backpedaled and said, oh, Lord, forgive me, I think my kids, even though we didn't talk about it, I think they could sort of sense that I backed off from trying to pray what I thought was God's best blessing on them and instead leave room for God to work in his timing and in his way. And that's a prayer that they, I think, were much more open to receiving.
That was so well said. I love how you've written about blessing your children, even when you don't agree with the decisions that you're making. Can you talk to me about that?
Well, you know, you're hitting me at all my sensitive spots here, because it is true. You know, we don't always agree with our kids. And yet I just think God invites us to speak blessing over them, to forecast his favor over their lives. To say that, you know, our family favorite was that one out of Numbers where it says, may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and give you peace. That was something that we prayed over our children when they were young. And I still pray it over them today, even if I think they're taking a walk on the wild side or doing something that, you know, might not be wrong, but maybe I just don't agree with. It really keeps the lines of communication open with you and your child. It builds your relationship for them to feel blessed by you rather than criticized or judged. In the adult children book, I put a collection of some of my favorite blessings so that we can speak those things over our kids. Because, you know, God is always loving us. If we're walking on the wild side, and we do, all of us, it's not like he says, well, you know what, I'm withholding my love. I'm not going to speak favor over you anymore because you did X, Y, or Z. He doesn't do that to us. Sure, there are consequences for our sins and wrong choices, but that has nothing to do with his favor and his love and his blessing and his desire to see his best worked out in our lives. So I think that's what we can do as parents, is to still, in the midst of our children's choices, to let them know they're loved, to speak blessing over them, to not make it conditional on whether or not they do what we think is right.
Jody, do you have sons and daughter-in-laws now? I think you do, don't you?
Yes, our two eldest, Hillary and Ansley, married young men that they had actually gone to high school with, and then in one case dated all through college and got married after college. And so, yeah, we have two lovely sons-in-law, and I'm just crazy about them.
So I would assume that you've learned to incorporate them into your prayer time too, right?
Absolutely. We do this year of prayer in our house. It was something I started probably, believe it or not, after a Moms in Prayer retreat, maybe 20 years ago, maybe even more than that, 25. I went to this retreat, I think is where I heard about it, about the idea of picking one prayer to just sort of pray over your children all year long. And so every year in December, I spend a little bit of time thinking about where each one of my kids is socially, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, you know, what their needs might be. And then I find a verse that sort of speaks to that need, and I commit to praying that for the year. And now that I have sons-in-law, it's one of the things I love doing for them. And I don't know what they thought of it. We usually kind of, I give these prayers out either on Christmas or New Year's, just kind of as we get ready to move into the year. But they seem to have really received it and been blessed by it. And it's a really neat way of letting them know that, hey, you're part of the family. You know, you're getting the year of prayer too. And so I can pray for their business endeavors and their marriages and their health. We have a son in business school right now, and I've been praying for him out of Daniel 1, verse 4. And I will probably misquote it for you now, but it says, I think that he would show aptitude for every kind of learning, be well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve. And that's been my prayer for my son-in-law, who's doing an MBA program and juggling that with his regular job. And I just want him to be well-informed and quick to understand and have aptitude for every kind of learning. But, you know, that's a great prayer for somebody going off to their first day of kindergarten, too. Daniel 1:4 it is. So, yeah, I love praying for my sons-in-law.
That's a great verse to pray over them. I often pray a little bit later in Daniel 1 where it says, and they found Daniel to be 10 times wiser than his peers. And I always think, like, Lord.
That's a good one. I'm going to steal that one from you. That's a good one.
Raise up a child who's 10 times wiser, please.
Yes.
Oh, it's so fun to talk to you today. But you have resources available on your website. That's one of the things I heard is that Jody's put together calendars of prayer. So can you tell our friends about that?
Well, I am all about the freebies. You know, I love putting scripture in the hands of parents, especially I think it's helpful for if you're new to prayer, if you didn't grow up in a home where that was, you know, modeled or done, or if you have a lot of little ones running around and you just need something quick to put your hands on because you'd love to go digging, but maybe you just don't have the luxury of that time right now. And so at jodyburnt.com, people can download free prayer calendars. They go for a month and they are topically arranged where, you know, you might need a prayer for time management or you might need a prayer for compassion or for a work ethic or for strength or for a marriage, any of these things. And they're there with a scripture. And there's one for children, for teens, and for adult children. So that's a free download. And then there's some other little prettier cards that people can download if they just want something to tuck into a lunchbox or a, you know, card if their child doesn't live nearby and they wanted to just let them know they're praying for their protection. Those things I think are called four favorites, but there's all kinds of things on there. Folks can go and bop around and find what they need.
What a gift. Thank you for letting us be able to share those. And we'll have all of those in the show notes where people can get to them. Jody, it's just a flat gift to have you. Would you pray as we close up for the empty nesters who are listening today, who are looking at praying for their adult children, or maybe they actually have some kids at home and they're not empty nesters yet. They just have adult children too. Could you pray for those moms for us?
Yes, I'd be so honored. Oh, Father God, you're so good to us. Thank you that you are a parent, that there's nothing that we go through or think that you haven't also been through as you parent and love us. And I pray that we would be able to love our families with the same love that you extend to us. I pray too that you would equip us to be strong, to stand firm, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, to stand firm in the faith and let nothing move us, knowing that our labor is not in vain. And I just pray right now for any mom who is listening who might feel like her labor's in vain. Maybe she's feeling weary or discouraged or like the needle isn't really moving in her child's life. Father God, let this precious mama know that you do hear her prayers, that you are at work. And I think about Philippians 2:13, that it's you who works in us to will and to act according to your good purpose. So Lord, fulfill your good purposes in our lives, work in us and in our children to will and to act in ways that will please and delight you. We just thank you for the privilege of prayer. I thank you for the ministry of Moms in Prayer and for what it has meant to women in our community, in our nation, and all over the world. And I just pray your richest blessings on this entire ministry and on Lee as she continues to interview people and encourage us with your word and just with the hope that you bring. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jody, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you. It's a delight. Lord bless you.
Wasn't Jody great? She's making this mom of adult kids things look good. Not easy, but good. If you know a mom who's struggling with her adult kids, why don't you send her a link to today's podcast and offer her a little hope? You can get today's show notes and links to today's resources at our blog at momsinprayer.org. Thanks for taking the time to listen and to pray for your family. Moms make the difference. Moms whose kids are growing up. Moms just like you and me. See you next time.